This is Campus Journal, program number 996 for Monday, February 21st, 1994. Four, three, two, one. Hi, this is Monday's entry in the Campus Journal, and let me give you some random truisms about pictures today, okay? Have you ever thought about how nobody's driver's license picture is flattering? Or how no one ever claims to like his or her school pictures? Or how the best prose you've ever written is not done for your creative writing instructor, but for the back of your school pictures? Or how nothing is stranger than snapshots of your parents when they were your age? Or how candid snapshots almost always catch your eyes, or your nose, or your mouth, or your hands doing something that's grotesquely embarrassing. Yes, photographs are meant to capture a moment in time. We just hope that that moment is a moment worth remembering. And imagine what a difference it would make if we had a camera pointed at us during times that we normally wouldn't expect it, like on an evening out with a date, or on a night out with a bunch of kids with no particular place to go. Imagine that a snapshot would be taken each time we went to a place that we shouldn't be. A permanent record of our poor choice might make us think twice. There are some people we wouldn't want to see that picture. Oh, wait a minute. Our Lord is watching us at all times. Now, that's comforting because we need his care, but it can be sobering, too, if we're creating snapshots that we don't want anyone to see. Now, we need to make sure that the only pictures that can be taken of our lives are good ones. And that's Monday's entry in the Campus Journal. If you'd like a free copy of our Campus Journal booklet, call toll-free 1-800-653-7221. I'm Brian Hettinger. Thanks for listening today. And remember that God's camera is always focused on you. I'll see you tomorrow. Campus Journal is furnished by Radio Bible Class of Grand Rapids, Michigan. This is Campus Journal, program number 997 for Tuesday, February 22nd, 1994. Four, three, two, one. Hi, this is Tuesday's entry in the Campus Journal, and you certainly wouldn't expect to be shot at a place called a rest stop, would you? That's exactly what happened to some British tourists at a rest area in Florida last year. Now, what happened was this young couple had pulled off for a nap at a well-lighted rest stop. Two youths, however, knocked on the windows of their car, demanded money, and before the couple could wake up and drive off, the man was killed and the woman was wounded. You know, just as we wouldn't expect to be attacked at a place that's designed for resting, so also we wouldn't be expecting assault in a place called church, would we? But it happens all the time. A young person, for example, pulls into church weary from a long week of struggling with teachers and assignments and problems, but instead of being lovingly encouraged and disciplined there, they're shot at, beaten over the head with judgmental statements about their faults and their immaturity. Or someone with a smudged past comes limping through the church doors, only to be shunned and hit with stares once they get inside. Or maybe a personality conflict erupts, and instead of unity, there's bickering in its place. In the place of trust, there's animosity. You know, the first century church at Corinth had its share of problems like that. The Apostle Paul had ordered them to quit quarreling among themselves, among other things. And so when you and I think of church, do we see it as a rest stop? Is it a place where we feel welcome, where we can welcome others, and where we're able to express heartfelt worship to God in unity? Well, if not, why not? Let's determine to be part of the solution in our church. That's Tuesday's entry in the Campus Journal. If you or a student-age person you know would like a free copy of our monthly CJ devotional booklet, you can call toll-free 1-800-653-7221, and we'll send you a copy. I'm Brian Hettinger. Thanks for listening, and I'll see you tomorrow. This is Campus Journal, program number 998 for Wednesday, February 23, 1994. Four, three, two, one. Hi, this is Wednesday's entry in the Campus Journal, and you know, it seems like about every day someone comes up with another great use for the computer. An interesting one I heard about recently came from Liberty University's Joanna Tedder, and the idea is to turn your Mac into a spiritually helpful tool. Now, as a member of the school newspaper staff, Joanna Tedder admits to frustration. And if you've worked in journalism at all, you know how irritating things can get with the deadlines and editing and fact-checking and deadlines and last-minute changes, of course, not to mention the deadlines. Well, anyway, here's what Joanna does. When she's had it up to here, she sits down at her computer and keys in all of her troubles, anxieties, and confusion. She says, I type until I've listed everything that's bothering me. And then I pray for God to take those burdens from me because I'm too weak to carry them on my own. Then comes a good part. Now, with all these troubles staring her in the face and with her prayer for help to God completed, she hits the delete button. And those problems are history. Now, you and Joanna and I all know that zapping bits of information from a computer screen doesn't solve our problems. But you know, what Joanna does is biblically correct. Our Lord wants us to give our problems over to Him and to trust Him. Oh, sure, there's going to still be frustrations, even deadlines. But we can do no better than entrust their outcome to our perfect, all-powerful Heavenly Father. So the next time you start to get bogged down, try the Joanna Tedder method. There'll be one time you'll be thankful to be staring at a blank screen. And that's Wednesday's entry in the Campus Journal. And if you'd like to get our Campus Journal devotional booklet each month, call 1-800-653-7221. 1-800-653-7221. I'm Brian Hedding, and thanks for listening today, and I'll see you tomorrow. Campus Journal is furnished by Radio Bible Class. Grand Rapids, Michigan. This is Campus Journal program number 999 for Thursday, February 24, 1994. 4, 3, 2, 1. Hi, this is Thursday's entry in the Campus Journal, and let me ask you, what city do you think has the second largest Mexican population in the world? In the world now. How about the second largest number of Filipinos? Largest concentration of Samoans? I'll tell you what, all three of those questions share the same answer. Los Angeles, California. Plus, LA has the second largest Cambodian and the second largest Armenian urban populations in the world. Some economists consider this to be rather unhealthy. It would be better, they say, if Southern California grew as a result of Americans coming in from other states. But one of the writers for our printed Campus Journal booklet, who lives in L.A., disagrees with that. He says he loves the diversity. You know, I think it's interesting that even though the primary audience for Christ's teaching ministry when he was here on earth was his own Jewish people, Jesus loved outsiders. For example, we can read that he marveled at the faith of a Canaanite woman in Matthew 15. Now, the Jews consider the Canaanites to be the ultimate pagans. But she expressed the kind of persistent, determined faith that Jesus always responded to. As this woman pointed out, God's blessings are not limited by race or nationality. The key is faith. That was pretty insightful. You know, I have a feeling that we're going to be quite surprised when we get to heaven. Surprised by just how many people from other countries and other races and other churches are bonded by our common faith in Jesus Christ. So, how comfortable do you feel reaching out to people of other cultures? Remember, Jesus is the one Savior for every nation. That's Thursday's entry in the Campus Journal. For a free copy of our monthly Campus Journal devotional booklet, call 1-800-653-7221. I'm Brian Hedding, and I'll see you tomorrow. Campus Journal is furnished by Radio Bible Class, Grand Rapids, Michigan. This is Campus Journal program number 1000 for Friday, February 25, 1994. 4, 3, 2, 1. Hi, this is Friday's entry in the Campus Journal, and try to picture what you look like when you stagger out of bed in the morning and look in the mirror. Ugh, what a sight. You wouldn't want anybody seeing you then, would you? Or picture yourself just having finished a frustrating day of unexpected delays and rejections and impatient people. You're pretty much mad at the world. And the last thing you want is an audience, right? Well, coming soon, you may have one when the phone rings. That's right, the picture phone, which was introduced at the World's Fair in New York way back in 1964 by AT&T, has been improved to the point that it's almost ready for the general public. Callers will get to see your face when you answer the phone. Now, you probably don't want someone calling you at 6:15 a.m. just to see how you look. I know I don't. But the device holds great promise for companies who want to save valuable time and money on travel. They'd be able to hold conferences or negotiate by telephone, and the people involved would have the advantage of looking one another in the eye. Because obviously the face is important in maintaining and developing relationships. You know, the Bible also emphasizes the importance of the face. In fact, the Lord referred to his face as one way of expressing his approval or disapproval. Like, look on your dad's face when you brought home good grades, or when you dented the car. So we may not always want our face visible to the public, but we do need to live in a way that enables us to maintain a face-to-face relationship with God. No flinching when we pray because we've got something to hide. No averting our eyes because we've sinned. Just a face-to-face, in-the-eye relationship with God. And that's how we wrap up this week's entries in the Campus Journal. For a free copy of our monthly Campus Journal booklet, call toll-free 1-800-653-7221. I'm Brian Henning. Thanks for listening today. Have a good weekend, and I'll see you on Monday. Campus Journal is furnished by Radio Bible Class, Grand Rapids, Michigan. This is Campus Journal, program number 1001 for Monday, February 28, 1994. 4, 3, 2, 1. Hi, this is Monday's entry in the Campus Journal, and I know you don't like it. All the swearing and off-color jokes, sexual innuendo, the constant misuse of God's name. You'd rather not hear that. But because you live and work in a secular environment, you really have no choice. It's inevitable. Now, as a Christian, there are times when you feel like you should say something. Not to be holier than thou, but just because you like to make a difference for Christ. But you're so outnumbered. You're just one among so many. So other than grumble to yourself or maybe some other Christians, you just let it go. Now, there were some things that Justin Weaver didn't like about the crime in his town. But Justin didn't just complain about it. The day came when he did something about it. Last November, at the ripe old age of 21, Weaver ran for and was elected town justice in Randolph, New York. As he put it, why sit back and complain when you can actually do something? And you hear what he said? Those words sink in. Why sit back and complain when you can actually do something? I realize the time and the place and the situation aren't always right for us to do something, to speak up when someone dishonors God in our presence. But over the course of a school year, there are bound to be instances when we are alone with some of those same people, and that can be our opportunity. Our opportunity to talk to people about Christ and the change that he can make in their lives. We can't afford to wait for someone else to do it, because remember, Jesus said that you, that's right, you, are the salt of the earth. That's Monday's entry in the Campus Journal. Now, if you'd like a free copy of our monthly CJ devotional guide, for yourself or a student-age person you know, call toll-free 1-800-653-7221. I'm Brian Henning. Thanks for listening today, and I'll see you tomorrow. Campus Journal is furnished by Radio Bible Class of Grand Rapids, Michigan. This is Campus Journal, program number 1002 for Tuesday, March 1st, 1994. 4, 3, 2, 1. Hi, this is Tuesday's entry in the Campus Journal, and when Ken Robinson was a boy, he and his best friend were rivals in about everything. Whatever one did, the other did too, and usually tried to do just a little bit better. So when Ken's friend got new glasses, Ken wanted them too. But he didn't need them. But about a year later, he was told by the school vision testing team that he should get an eye exam, and then, sure enough, he did need glasses. Now, the real surprise came when he put them on. because it was then that he discovered that he could actually pick out individual shingles on house roofs instead of seeing just a gray blob. He could see people's faces from across the street. It was an eye-opening experience, to say the least. The corrective lenses clarified his vision. And, you know, our spiritual eyesight sometimes needs corrective lenses, too. Now, in the Bible, the Apostle Paul was praying for some Christians at Ephesus that the eyes of their hearts would be enlightened. And sometimes our vision gets clouded. For example, we may become dismayed by world conditions and doubt God's power. Or maybe we get blasted by a series of individual failures or setbacks like bad roommates, car trouble, poor grades, relationship problems. And it's then we begin to say, you know, what's the use of going on in the Christian life? And it's at times like that that our spiritual vision needs correcting. So are you feeling stressed, maybe worn down by attacks on your faith, weak from facing some tough issues, and things have gotten blurry? Well, use the corrective lenses of God's Word and get refocused. And that's Tuesday's entry in the Campus Journal. And if you or a student-age person you know would like a free copy of our monthly CJ devotional booklet, then call 1-800-653-7221. I'm Brian Hettinger. Thanks for listening today, and I'll see you tomorrow. Campus Journal is furnished by Radio Bible Class of Grand Rapids, Michigan. This is Campus Journal, program number 1003 for Wednesday, March 2nd, 1994. 4, 3, 2, 1. Hi, this is Wednesday's entry in the Campus Journal, and you've heard of a dog's bark being worse than his bite, right? Well, a twist on that saying comes from Frankfort, Indiana, where the bark on some city trees is worse because of the bite of 20-year-old Brian Lyman. You see, Brian was arrested soon after the mayor of Frankfort ordered the police to find out why several recently planted trees were being damaged. And when a detective went to investigate, several teenagers pointed to Brian Lyman, who admitted that he was the one with the beaver-like chewing habit. And at the same time, he also confessed that he was the one who had bitten the ends off of some light bulbs on city Christmas trees. And you gotta wonder, why would somebody do something like that? Brian said he was just showing off. Now, I've never chewed tree bark, but I have done some pretty ridiculous things just to show off, haven't you? In most cases, no harm was done, but in some of the cases, people were hurt. Property was damaged. And so we need God's help to know the difference between innocent fun and the destructive variety. And we also need his help to resist the pressure to do something with our friends that we know is foolish and harmful. Now, Proverbs chapter 2 in the Bible talks about this. The author encouraged us to long for wisdom as much as we would for a great treasure. Want wisdom as much as an A on a research paper or exam, as much as a car that runs, as much as a dream job or a dream date. And so, do you want wisdom as much as those things? Well, if we have that kind of desire, we will be given the wisdom that comes to those who know God, those who follow His ways. And that's Wednesday's entry in the Campus Journal. Would you like a free copy of our CJ devotional booklet? Well, then call toll-free 1-800-653-7221. I'm Brian Hettinger, and I'll see you tomorrow. This is Campus Journal, program number 1004. For Thursday, March 3rd, 1994. 4, 3, 2, 1. Hi, this is Thursday's entry in the Campus Journal, and the title of today's entry is Grin and Barrette. That's important, so keep that in mind, okay? You see, it was the regional cross-country meet, and at the end of the race, most of the young women on the team felt pretty good about their times as they waited to see who would qualify for the state meet. But then their coach was called to the judges' stand. And he returned with a glum look on his usually enthusiastic face. His team of runners, who had done well enough to qualify for the state finals, had been disqualified. One of the runners unknowingly had broken a rule. She'd worn a metal barrette in her hair, and that's a cross-country no-no. That's a strange rule, And the coach could have ranted and raved and filed a protest. And he could have berated the runner for not knowing the rule. But he didn't. He simply consoled the runner and told the team, we just have to go on from here. Kind of a grin and barrette attitude. You know, that's an attitude you're going to need over and over as life throws you its disqualifications. You'll need it when the list of players who made the team doesn't have your name on it. You'll need it when your grades drop too low to renew your scholarship. You'll need it when you get a Dear John note. You'll need it when someone else gets the job you want. See, contrary to what some religious leaders imply, you can't look forward to a trouble-free existence as a Christian. Tough times will come. But when they come, as the author of Hebrews in the Bible said, let the bad things improve you rather than disable you. With God's grace and the right attitude, you can look adversity in the face and grin and barrette. That's Thursday's entry in the Campus Journal. For a free copy of our monthly CJ booklet, call 1-800-653-7221. I'm Brian Heading. Thanks for listening today, and I'll see you tomorrow. Campus Journal is furnished by Radio Bible Class of Grand Rapids, Michigan. This is Campus Journal, program number 1005 for Friday, March 4, 1994. 4, 3, 2, 1. Hi, this is Friday's entry in the Campus Journal, and after washing a large load of laundry, Cindy grabbed an armful of wet towels and threw them in the dryer. She reached in the washer for the rest and tossed them in, and then closed the door, set the timer, and pushed start. But as she walked away, she heard a noise. So she stopped and took a mental inventory of what was in the dryer. Now, there weren't any tennis shoes in there. And so she grabbed the handle and opened the door, and out jumped her cat. Curious about what was inside the dryer, he jumped in and gone for a pretty rough ride. And, you know, a little curiosity can be a good thing. Being curious about new fields of studies, about exotic places, about exciting careers, unusual people. It's what spurs us on to pursue wonderful opportunities. But it also poses some dangers, because curiosity about things like sex and drugs and drinking can tempt us to jump into dangerous situations. We might think, you know, what's it like? And what's the harm in doing it just once? Well, let me give you some advice. I think it's important that we make up our minds about what we're going to do before we're tempted. We need to put on the armor that's described in Ephesians 6 in the Bible. That's the best way. But if you're already in the situation, the Bible also states that God is faithful, and He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you're tempted, He'll also provide a way out. See, God knows about the temptations we face, and He wants to help us overcome them. So let's trust Him to show us the way out. And that's how we wrap up another week of entries in the Campus Journal. Thanks for listening. And if you or a student-age person you know would like a free copy of our monthly CJ devotional guide, call 1-800-653-7221. I'm Brian Hedinga. Have a good weekend. Campus Journal is furnished by Radio Bible Class of Grand Rapids, Michigan.